This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
What if I told you that leaving your digital marketing budget on autopilot this September is like artificially capping your fourth quarter revenue by as much as 30%?
I mean, it sounds intense, but it is entirely accurate.
Right. Today, we're diving into why treating your ad spend like a flat utility bill, you know, paying the exact same amount every month, no matter what the market is doing, is just a massive financial mistake.
Oh, absolutely. Especially given that we're sitting here in the early days of September 2026. The timing on this is just critical.
Yeah. If you manage a business or run marketing campaigns, or even if you just care about where your company's money goes,
yeah,
you really need to hear this.
Because the moves you make in your ad accounts this week, they basically dictate your financial reality for the entire fourth quarter.
Exactly. So to guide us, we're working from a really insightful article today. It's called Dynamic Budget Planning: Scale September Ads ROI, and it's written by Clark Mego from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
It's a great piece. Really breaks down the mechanics well.
It really does. And our mission for this deep dive is to sort of tear down that standard set it and forget it budgeting mindset. We want to show you how a strategy called dynamic budget planning can just dramatically scale your return on investment.
Right, by actually capitalizing on seasonal shifts instead of ignoring them.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can solve the problem with a dynamic approach, we kind of have to understand why the normal way of doing things is just fundamentally broken.
Yeah, if the status quo is... Well, it's a trap, honestly.
It really is. So the source gives this very standard example. A lot of businesses will set a flat ad budget, right? Like, say, $15,000 every single month.
Which finance departments love, by the way.
Oh, they do. It makes cash flow super predictable. It simplifies all the admin work. Leadership gets this really neat, tidy line item on the spreadsheet.
But from a marketing reality standpoint, it makes zero sense.
Right. I was thinking about it. Like, this setting the exact same budget for July as you do for September is basically like wearing a winter coat year round just because it, you know, averages out the temperature.
That is a great way to put it.
It completely ignores the actual weather. So why is treating every month's market conditions exactly the same such a costly strategy?
Yeah.
Especially now in 2026.
Well, the biggest thing to realize is that human behavior isn't flat. The market doesn't search for vendors or evaluate software at a flat rate all year round.
They take vacations, right?
Exactly. And beyond that, the whole landscape of traditional search has fundamentally shifted this year.
Oh, because of AI.
Right. Conversational AI engines like ChatGPT, Google Gemini, things like that, they're answering all those surface level prompts natively now.
So people aren't clicking on standard search ads just to find basic definitions anymore.
No, not at all. If I need a quick summary of a software category, the AI just synthesizes the answer right in the chat. So you don't need random, low intent traffic anymore.
You just need actual paying customers.
Exactly. And keeping a static, flat spend means you're wasting capital during those low intent periods, like the middle of summer, and then you're completely underinvesting during the peak demand cycles.
Which perfectly sets up the actual market reality. So what exactly is happening in September?
It's a massive pivot point.
Yeah, and the source has this fantastic quote to introduce this idea. Clark Mago writes, "Attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue. Everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room."
I love that quote. It is so painfully true for marketers.
Right. So let's eliminate the guesswork. What are the three real-world variables that make September such a critical time to adjust the budget?
Okay, so the first one is the post-Labor Day intent search.
The pent-up demand.
Yes. During summer, B2B search volume just plummets. Decision makers are at the beach. Key stakeholders are out of the office on staggered weeks. Nobody is signing a six-figure contract in August.
Yeah, the corporate world basically goes on pause.
But the intent doesn't disappear. It accumulates. So right after Labor Day, everyone is back at their desks. They have end-of-year mandates, remaining annual budgets, and they are suddenly ready to buy.
So if you have that flat, summer-adjusted daily budget,
it's going to cap out almost instantly. The volume of high-intent searches is so heavy, your $15,000 monthly budget might hit its daily limit by, like, 1:00 p.m. on a Tuesday?
Oh, wow. So if a VP is searching for my service at 3:00 p.m., I'm just not there.
You're completely invisible. You're basically surrendering the best buyers of the year to any competitor who is smart enough to raise their daily cap.
That is terrifying. Which brings us to the second variable, competitive auction density. Yeah. Because everyone else realizes the buyers are back, right?
Exactly. September kicks off all those Q4 budget allocations. Mm. So your competitors, who also saved up money over the summer, suddenly dump their budgets back into the ad auction all at once.
So the auction just gets insanely crowded.
Extremely crowded. And because it's a real-time auction, that density drives the cost per click, the CPC, way, way up.
Okay, wait. I need to push back on this a little bit.
Go for it.
If everyone is rushing back into the auction and driving up the cost per click, aren't you just paying more for the exact same thing you were buying in August? I mean, why lean in when it's literally at its most expensive?
It's a fair question, but this is actually the ultimate mathematical flaw of the flat budget.
How so?
Well, think about it. If your budget is fixed at $15,000 and that competitive density suddenly drives your average click cost from $10 to $15.
Oh, I see. My same 15 grand buys fewer clicks.
Right. It buys you significantly fewer clicks and leads than it did just 3 weeks prior.
So keeping the budget flat actually shrinks my market share.
Exactly. Right when intent is at its absolute peak, you're buying a smaller slice of the pie. You have to scale the capital just to match the seasonal volume. It's a defensive move to capture that surging intent.
Wow, okay, that makes total sense. And that brings us to the third variable, right?
Yeah.
The B2B sales pipeline lag.
Yeah, this is the why it matters right now piece.
Because B2B sales don't happen overnight.
Not at all. If you get a qualified corporate lead in mid-September, they aren't wiring you money on Friday. That sales cycle takes, 30 to 60 days to close.
There's discovery calls, legal reviews, all that red tape.
Exactly. So aggressive September investing fills your CRM with opportunities that actually have the runway to become closed won revenue before December 31st.
So if you wait until November to boost your ad,
you've entirely missed your Q4 revenue target. Those deals won't close until Q1 of the next year.
Okay, so the why is undeniable at this point. We have to spend dynamically. But now we really need to talk about the how.
Because you can't just flip a switch.
Right. Because if I just log into Google Ads today and double my budget, I'm going to cause total chaos, right?
Mm.
It triggers what the platform calls a learning phase.
Yeah. Erratic last-minute changes are the absolute worst thing you can do to a smart bidding algorithm.
It just completely disrupts performance. So the source lays out three practical steps to do this safely.
Right. And step one is all about establishing an annual budget pool.
Which solved the finance department's headache.
Exactly. Instead of looking at it as a flat $15,000 a month, you look at it as a pool of $180,000 a year.
Okay.
So you intentionally allocate lower spend in the quiet month, say, 10 grand in July.
Then you save that extra cash.
Right, you build a reserve. So when September hits, you can scale up to, say, $22,000 without ever actually increasing your overall annual budget.
That's brilliant. Finance stays happy. Marketing gets their September surge.
Exactly.
So step two is how we deal with the algorithm. Pre-setting portfolio bidding limits.
Yeah, you have to do this in late August.
So you're basically adjusting your cost per acquisition targets, your CPA, early on.
Right. You slowly raise your CPA target so the smart bidding algorithms can gradually absorb the incoming volume. It's a continuous flow of signals.
And the source mentions that this flow feeds the AI models to achieve something called preferred answer status.
Yes, the AI starts trusting your account because you're feeding it steady, reliable data. It knows you can handle the volume.
Which leads perfectly into the third step. And this is sort of the linchpin of the whole strategy. Deploying server-side conversion tracking, or OCI.
Offline conversion import. It is an absolute game changer.
To set this up, there's another fantastic quote from the source I have to read.
Oh, I think I know which one you're going to say.
Yeah. Many websites collect leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in.
It's so accurate.
It really paints a picture.
Yeah.
So how does this server-side conversion tracking actually, put the bottom back in the bucket?
What's fascinating here is how it entirely removes the guesswork. OCI basically routes encrypted CRM sales milestones directly back into your ad reporting tools.
Wait, break that down for me. How does it work mechanically?
Okay, so someone clicks your ad in September. Google assigns a unique ID to that click.
Like a fingerprint?
Exactly. That fingerprint gets passed secretly into your CRM when they fill out a form. So fast forward 45 days, your sales team closes the deal for, say, $50,000.
Okay, the deal is marked closed won.
Right. And the moment that happens, OCI automatically pings Google Ads, hands back that exact fingerprint, and says, hey, This specific click just generated $50,000 in real revenue.
Oh, wow. So the algorithm knows exactly what kind of user actually makes the company money.
Yes. It eliminates the need for those, those abstract 40-page agency decks filled with useless impression metrics.
Nobody cares about impressions.
Exactly. It replaces all of that with a simple, transparent dashboard built around actual financial reality.
Like, I spent X dollars this month, and our systems returned Y dollars in closed contracts.
Precisely. It mathematically proves exactly which dynamic budget increases yielded real closed revenue.
Okay, so what does this all mean? When we zoom out from all this technical back-end stuff, it seems like the overarching philosophy here is that agility just eliminates waste.
That's the core of it, yeah.
Dynamic budget planning stops companies from just, renting temporary traffic loops in the middle of summer. It turns their marketing into this unyielding corporate growth engine.
It really does. And there's one final piece of wisdom from the source that captures this mindset perfectly.
Let's hear it.
Clark Mago wrote, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
Nobody gets apples tomorrow. I love it.
Right. It takes time and structure. And honestly, outsourcing this kind of technical overhead, the OCI integrations, the budget pacing it, allows leadership to actually focus on closing the major accounts.
Let the experts handle the plumbing so you can just run the business.
Exactly.
I think that's incredibly sound advice. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final kind of provocative thought to mull over.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
So it's drawn from a detail in the source that we haven't even mentioned yet. Mm. We talked a lot today about adjusting Google Ads budgets to capture traditional search, right?
Right, winning the standard auction.
But the source material also briefly mentions this need to structure machine-readable JSON LD schema.
Oh, yeah. The back-end code.
Exactly. It's the technical framework you need to prove your capabilities to conversational AI search tools like ChatGPT and Gemini, which we touched on earlier.
It's how the AI actually reads and understands your website.
Right. So here's something to think about. If you are dynamically budgeting to win the traditional ad auction today, how are you budgeting for the technical backend required to win the AI-driven search queries of tomorrow?
That is the million-dollar question.
Are you really ready for when AI entirely changes the definition of a search engine? It's definitely something you need to be asking your team this week.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We really hope it gave you some valuable tools to scale your ROI this season. We'll catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.